Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel. We're going to be heading to chapter 11, but I want you to turn here first to chapter number 1, and we just want to point out something here that we need to have for these chapters that we want to look at this afternoon. And I pray, you pray that the Lord will bless. I don't want to make this dry like toast and just, you know, hard to, I don't want to do that. It is indeed a lot of reading, but we want to make progress and make ground through it. It is given to us by the Lord in His Word, so we have it for a purpose. And again, this main thing, the reason what this got my attention about this is how our Lord calls our brother the Son of Man. It's a name. It's a name that's given unto Him, Son of Man. There's no other in the Scripture other than the Lord Jesus Christ that has been called this. And so I wonder about why that is, and have posed some things to you that I believe may be the case. Here in this chapter 1 of Ezekiel, let's read here at verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. Ezekiel's first vision, as we have recorded in the Scriptures. And in the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzai, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. So we have these two date references, okay? And as I mentioned to you, I'm very much wondering about this first in verse number 1 about the 30th year, okay? The 30th year in the 4th month and the 5th day of the month. I'm wondering if that's not Ezekiel talking about his age, okay? His birthday, how it is the Lord called him. And, of course, a parallel there is how the Lord's ministry began at 30 years old. Then we have this here in verse number 2, which we want to point out this afternoon. In the 5th day of the month, which is the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. Now, I'm remiss for not having brought this out clearer, and we'll look to do so here in the future. But as we take a look at the kings of Judah, okay, Jehoiachin is the next to the last king. So understand that relevance to Judah. Israel's gone, long gone into captivity. Israel's gone. The 10 northern tribes, it's over with for them, okay? But here Judah remains, but she has her last king, actually, because the next to the last king, Jehoiachin, as is mentioned here, has been in captivity for that time. 5 years, 4 months, and 5 days. Okay, so with Ezekiel, this prophecy given to Ezekiel, these visions, this call of the Lord, this directive from God to carry this word, this burden, to those in captivity. And remember that too. He's not over at Jerusalem and Judah speaking these things, but he's speaking these things to those that are captive over in Ur of the Chaldees. Okay, so understand how that is. Over there in Israel, over there in Judah and Jerusalem, the last king is there. Okay, the last king is there. And we'll look more about that, Lord willing, here in a little bit. In chapter 11 of Ezekiel, in chapter 11, we pick it up here. The brother is in the midst for several chapters here of his third vision from the Lord. We noted that it was 1 year and 2 months from the time that of what we read over there in chapter 1. Okay, so there's been in these chapters 1 through 7, there's been a year and 2 months that has passed. And let's read this, and let me read this to you, rather, in chapter 8. And it came to pass in the 6th year, in the 6th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I sat in mine house, okay, so let's get that context, that setting, and the elders of Judah sat before me. Remember that. Remember that about the elders of Judah. They have Ezekiel has got their attention. They're either there railing on him, they're wanting to inquire from the Lord of him, they're wanting to hear from him and to hear from the Lord in that. Something is at hand. They have, this priest has been so touched by the Lord, and his witness and testimony has been such that these elders come to him, and they either have a quarrel with him or they're wanting to know what this is all about. Something's up. Okay, I don't see it clearly what they're at. The reason that they're there yet, we may see that here in the future. But they are there in his house. Okay, and he says there. As the elders of Judah sat before me, okay, so those would be those that would be taken into captivity. Could it be that elders, I don't know, could it be that elders of Judah could travel, those that were not taken captive, but yet left in Jerusalem, could they travel back and forth from Ur of the Chaldees back and forth to Jerusalem with, I don't know what kind of business they would have. I wonder about that. I don't know how it could be. Or how exactly it is, but these elders, these are older men, leaders in Judah that are sitting before him, and the hand of God, Lord, the Lord God, fell there upon me. Okay, he sees the things that he sees. He sees this layout, this vision of the temple and the courts around the temple. We saw that last time, and about these six that we're told of the Lord to take their slaughter weapon, one with an ink horn to make a mark on those that sighed and were bothered by all the abominations there in Jerusalem. And then the Lord told them to go and to kill all those that did not have the mark. There's a remnant that's there. And he says, and then he sees about the throne, again, the throne of the Lord, where these four creatures are. And he said they're like what he saw at Chebar earlier on. And he says, he wraps up chapter 10 by saying, they're the same. They're the same ones that I saw there. Chapter 11, moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the east gate of the Lord's house. So we have the temple, and the door of the temple is facing to the east. There were some things out there in the previous chapters that were abominations, the Lord called them, over here to the north, over here at the corner, and out here, men standing out here by the brazen altar, okay? Remember, those things took place, and the Lord dealt with that in what he showed Ezekiel. And so now he's brought him to the east gate. And so out here, the inner court, outer court, there's a gate that goes out due east. Do you remember what's out due east from the temple? It's the Mount of Olives. You know, I think about the Lord Jesus Christ going over to the Mount of Olives. It says in the Gospels that he liked to resort to Gethsemane, which is over there on the Mount of Olives. Can you think about the Lord Jesus Christ and his humanity? He is God. He is man. He's 100% both, as Brother Doug brought out this morning. It's a marvel to us. We believe it. I can't explain it. I just know it's so. Praise be to God, it is. Amen. And what do you think about Jesus when he sat over there in Gethsemane? Would he look over towards the temple? Would he look over towards the city? We know that he wept over the city. We know that did the Lord Jesus Christ, is he the Word of God? He's the fulfillment of the Word of God, isn't he? Don't you reckon Jesus and the time that he came to Jerusalem and sat over there in Gethsemane? Remember how he was found in Jerusalem when he was 12 years old? That's our Lord, and you know, do you think there's anything about the Scriptures that he let slip or slide? And he sat over there in Gethsemane, over there on the Mount of Olives, and he looked over at the temple, and he thought he didn't wonder about anything, but he thought about all those accounts that we have in the Old Testament Scriptures, all those things that transpired, all those prophets that were sent. And he loved to go over to Gethsemane and look back, I believe, over towards the temple. Is the Lord in the temple anymore? Not even in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry is the Lord there. The Shekinah glory is left. The Lord dwelling there between the cherubims is left. You know, I liken it to what it says in Revelation. It was the church at Laodicea. The Lord Jesus Christ says, Behold, I'm at the door and knock. And that's a church. That's not a soul. The Lord's at the door and knock. You know, wasn't he at the door of the temple knocking? You know, boy, I tell you, what a long-suffering Lord we have. Anyway, he brought me to the east gate of the Lord's house, which looked eastward, and behold, at the door of the gate, 5 and 20 men. Among them I saw Jazaniah, the son of Azur, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, princes of the people. Remember those names. Remember that there are elders there before Ezekiel in his house, as we saw in that previous chapter. Then said he unto me, the Lord, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city. 25. Remember about the 20 that were out here in front of the temple and had their backs to the temple and put their faces towards the sun and worshiped the sun. And the Lord said of them, they hold the branch to their nose. It was a despicable thing. Whatever it was that they were doing, it was despicable to the Lord. It was abominable. 20 were listed there. And, of course, they were slain by in the vision that Ezekiel had. But now we have 25. Two men in particular are listed. And he says, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city. In Jerusalem? Well, they're there at the temple, so it stands to reason it would be Jerusalem, right? Which say, it is not near. Let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh. It's kind of like what we would say. Maybe you've heard it. You just think that the world's your oyster. You know, everything ought to cater to you. Okay? That's what they were saying. This is our cauldron. We've got it made here. Don't sweat it. Don't worry about it. And we are the benefactors of this blessing of this city. That's what they would say. They would say, this is where we can work our little kingdom, our power over people, and no doubt devour widows' houses and be an oppressor even to their own people. The Lord says they devise mischief in this city. They say, it is not near, what? The judgment of God. Let us build houses. Just go ahead and business as usual. Carry on. The city is the cauldron and we be the flesh. Therefore prophesy against them. Prophesy, O son of man. And so there we have another reference to Ezekiel as the son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak. Thus saith the Lord, thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. That ought to be sobering, shouldn't it? Do you confess, do you and I confess those things that do come to our hearts and mind that we dwell on before the Lord? He knows all about them. Sometimes we're plagued with junk. I pray that you're not. You know, we need to confess that to the Lord, not to dwell on those things and cultivate those things. You know, we can take something in our heart and mind and we can just build on it. May we displace it with the good word of our Lord. I know the things that come to your mind, every one of them, not a one, not even the imagery of your heart, as he dealt and told earlier. Ye have multiplied your slain in the city. Ye have filled the streets thereof with the slain. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, your slain whom ye have laid in the midst of it, they are the flesh, and this city is the cauldron. He says, you think that this is your oyster, and you're just going to benefit from this? He said, no. The slain that you have killed, they are the flesh. And the city is indeed the cauldron, but I will bring you forth out of the midst of it. You'll not enjoy it. You'll not benefit from it. You'll have no gain from it, because the Lord is sorely displeased with them. Verse 8, ye have feared the sword, and I will bring the sword upon you, saith the Lord God. And I will bring you out of the midst thereof, and deliver you the hands of strangers, and will execute judgments among you. Ye shall fall by the sword. I will judge you in the border of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. There it is again. The Lord tells over and over again. Remember how it was that he said earlier in chapters, he said, you'll know that this is of me and that I bring it to pass because your priests and your men, when they're found dead, having been killed, they'll be all around your altars. They'll be all around your high places. They'll be all around those places of worship that you've set up. That's where they will be. He said, and you'll know when it comes to pass that I am the Lord. Verse 11, this city shall not be your cauldron, neither shall ye be the flesh in the midst thereof. It won't be a benefit to you, but I will judge you in the border of Israel. The border. Not at home. Not there where you're familiar. Not there in the land of your nativity. But I will judge you over there beyond, at the border and beyond Israel. I'm going to take you to a strange land amongst a strange people. Every comfort, everything that's settled and just makes everything nice and just makes everything pleasant for you, you'll be stripped of it. It'll be gone. And you'll know that I, the Lord, have done this. Verse 12, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, there it is again, for ye have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathen round about you. And this is another theme that we're seeing in this, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know, we need to know that the Lord is Lord now. Not cause him to have to whip us and to suffer his chastisement as the children of God and condemnation as those who are away from God and not saved, to know that He is the Lord. May we know that He's the Lord now. For you have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathen round about you. This of judgments, and we touched on that when we went through the book of Proverbs. This issue right here and this paper, this writing that's an abomination and wickedness and affront to God Almighty, God's already judged about the way it ought to be with the genders and the way it ought to be in marriage. It's done. It's over with. That's a judgment of God. And you know what? We need to line up with it. Mankind needs to line up with it. It's just over. It's not up for debate. God has said it and settled it. But you've done after the manners of the heathen that are round about you. And that's part of the reason is because those that are unbelieving take and twist the way of the Lord. Verse 13, listen to this. And it came to pass, when I prophesied, that Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, died. Now, we see this man in verse number 1. We see him standing there before the temple. We see him, the perspective that Ezekiel has is from the east gate, looking west towards the temple. This man is one of two named and one of 25 that are there. And the Lord says they cause evil in this city, in Jerusalem. Now, the elders, as we see in previous chapters, and as this vision is given to Ezekiel by the Lord, we see the elders of Judah there before him. Is this Benaniah? Has he already been taken, or Pelatiah rather, has he been taken captive? And is he one of the elders right there before Ezekiel? Or does Ezekiel see it in the vision of one of 25? This Pelatiah falls down dead. Remember how it was with Peter and Ananias and Sapphira, don't you? You know, they lied to the Lord. They lied to the church. And they fell down dead. When they were confronted with their sin, given opportunity to repent, and stayed with the lie. Brother Ezekiel, he either sees this in the vision, or it's one of these elders that's right there with him. Wouldn't that, I mean, look at the gravity of that. Look at the gravity and the greatness. Look at that from the standpoint of the man of God. The word of the Lord comes. The Lord declares these men that they are the wicked devisers in Jerusalem. And then as the Lord's given him that vision, the man drops dead right there. That's serious, isn't it? Or in the vision, he sees him drop dead. Let's read it. And it came to pass when I prophesied. Oh, so we have a hint there. He's telling it, isn't he? I think it becomes clear that Pelatiah is there, isn't he? And the elders have come, and he prophesies, he tells this account. Ezekiel's going to be clear about that, about him telling the accounts of these things that the Lord's given him. And this man falls dead. The Lord's serious about this, isn't he? It's not just hollow words. It's very serious. Very serious. The Lord takes that man's life. And all of our lives are in our Lord's hand, indeed. And it came to pass when I prophesied, I believe when he told about this of the cauldron and the city and the flesh and that Pelatiah, the son of Benaniah, died. Then fell I down on my face and cried with a loud voice and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? We talked about that last time. Ah, Lord God. Ah, Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord. Unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Some believe that maybe this is a reference to what the Lord provided for the Jews in the synagogue. They weren't, when the temple was destroyed and they were scattered, and that of the synagogue, they were provided a place to meet and a place to worship. Not the temple. Not the church. But the testimony of the Lord is that he has not left them all, has he? There will be a remnant. There will be a remnant. Brother Doug, I mentioned this morning, God gave commandment to men. God gave commandments to men. We have failed in obeying our Lord. But you know what? Those commandments will be obeyed by man. And they've been obeyed by the God-man. Amen? You know what? And as the brother said, we are saved. Those who are saved, it's imputed unto us. Praise be to God. Praise be to our Lord that he would be so generous to give us the righteousness of Christ. Amen? What a blessing that we stand redeemed before our Lord in that way. He said, He says this, Yes, will I be unto them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. The Lord will not forget them. Verse 17, Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of all the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. So you see the burden of the prophet of the Lord. You see the Lord is powerful, and the Lord prophesies about what he does. He takes this man's life from him to be a witness and a testimony. Because see, Ezekiel's telling these men, these elders, and the children of Israel there in captivity, these things that he's been given. And then they see that this man dies. Some would say, well, it's just coincidence. But if they got any sense about him, they'll see it's the hand and the work of the Lord. He's serious about this. Because see, what is it with the prophet? If it doesn't come to pass, don't be afraid of him. But if he's the prophet of the Lord, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. And not that Ezekiel spoke any death to this man. But with the prophecy that was given, could it have been that Pelatiah was the ringleader? And the Lord took his life. And then we see here Ezekiel, the care of Ezekiel. Even in the Lord meting out justice for the rebel and the disobedient, Ezekiel says, Oh Lord, if you turn your power loose, are you going to destroy everybody? Isaiah says the same thing. Lord, who's believed our report? are you just going to destroy everybody? And the Lord says, no, I'll not destroy them all, but I will bring them back. Verse 19, and I will give them one heart, praise be to God, and will put a new spirit within you, and will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Hallmark passage. We use it a lot of time. For those of you that are here and not saved, we pray that that's what the Lord will do for you. That's what the Lord, we who the Lord saved, it's what He's done for us. And you know what? That's what He's going to do for Israel. Hard-hearted, disobedient Israel as a nation with their Judaism and hanging on to all that. They're even going to build a temple and try to keep that stuff going, try to keep that Judaism going. And you know what? The Lord's going to whip on them and He's going to chastise them and they're going to be brought to the end and the Lord in one day is going to save His nation. And you know what? They're going to love Him because their Lord loved them first. And they're going to see Him whom they pierced. And they're going to say, we missed Him, but He's come back to save us now. And He's going to bring them. And you know what? Us dirty dog rotten Gentiles are going to rejoice right along with our brothers and sisters, the saints of the nation of Israel. And you know what? They're not going to feel ill about us anymore. And we're not going to be jealous of them. But our Lord is going to be the king, the key in the center of it all. Amen. And I will give them one heart, put a new spirit within you, will take away the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. You reckon Ezekiel was happy to hear that? I bet he was relieved, don't you? He was thrilled, no doubt. There was relief in the midst of all this death and destruction that the sin of Israel had brought and the judgment of the Lord. He says here that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things, remember what the Lord saw in the temple? Disobeying the commandments in every way. They want another God rather than the God they have. They take the name, Lord's name in vain. They don't hallow the Sabbath day and keep it holy. All those things towards God. I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Then did the cherubims, verse 22, lift up their wings, and the wheels beside them, remember that, four of them, and the glory of God of Israel was over them above, and went up above those 25 men, I believe. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city, and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city, over there on Olives. Over there on Olives. They don't want the Lord. They don't want the Lord. They don't want His way. They want a way of their own device and of the device of the way of man in the world. Of the device of the way of Satan even. They don't want the Lord. And the Lord... His glory leaves. Afterwards, the Spirit took me up and brought me into the vision of the Spirit of God into Chaldea, to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. He wasn't in the midst of it anymore. Third vision is past. Then I spake unto them of the captivity all the things that the Lord had shown me. Chapter 12, verse 1. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, there it is again. Thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not, have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Do you hear? Oh, I pray that all of us would really hear. Not just with the ear of the body, but may we hear with the ear of the heart. May we desire that our Lord would work in us, that we would hear with the ear of the heart, that we would hear from our heart. Therefore, thou son of man, verse 3, prepare thee stuff for removing, and remove by day in their sight. And thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. So the Lord tells him, he said, get you some stuff together, Ezekiel, some stuff for removing. Get you some stuff together, and I want you to take it, and I want you to take it from one place to another place. This is a grown man. Is this a game? Oh, no, it's not a game. Does it seem foolish to men? Sure enough. Well, you know what? It's going to be a witness and a testimony. It's going to be a witness and a testimony once again. Then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight, verse 4, as the stuff for removing, and thou shalt go forth at even in their sight. Okay, so stuff by day, and then stuff in the even, okay, the evening in their sight, that as they go forth into captivity. So what that's going to represent, Ezekiel, is it's going to be like they load up the stuff, and they're going to head out to Ur of the Chaldees. Now you think about the painfulness of that. You think about ladies that have had the things of their household that they've collected over the years and that they enjoy and they put much stock in. When I say that they worship it, but it's just near and dear to them. Maybe mama or grandmama or somebody gave these things to. Maybe a man that had his father or his grandfather's tools or something that was. You can't carry all that stuff going into Chaldea. They're going to load you up. They're going to press on you heavy to load up and get the stuff you need for survival and leave. You're going to load up and leave. You're going to load up and leave with no hope of ever coming back again. If we slow down and we think about that, just give that some thought about somebody says, be out here on this street in 15 minutes because you're heading towards Kansas. That'd be rough, wouldn't it? That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? That would be difficult. That would be perplexing. And you get out there on the street and you got a whole bunch of stuff that you can't carry. And everybody else is carrying what they need to carry. And there's no sky cap or nobody to help you get the stuff onto Kansas to check it in. And you leave it there on the street. The Lord tells Ezekiel, get it ready and move it. He says here, dig down on the wall, verse number 5, in their sight, and carry out thereby. So there where Ezekiel was at, he had to dig a hole through the wall. In their sight thou shalt bear it upon thy shoulders and carry it forth in the twilight. And that time between day and night and night and day, thou shalt cover thy face. What's this of the covering of the face? That would make it even harder, wouldn't it? To where you couldn't see. What's it say? Cover thy face that thou shalt not see the ground. So now you're going to carry this stuff and going to try to hit a hole in the wall, carrying the stuff that you need to take with you, and you got to feel around. You got to grope around to find the hole in the wall and the path to be able to take it off to wherever. In the twilight, cover thy face that thou see not the ground, for I have set thee for a sign to the house of Israel. And I did so as I was commanded, and I brought forth my stuff by day as stuff for captivity, and in the even I dig through the wall with mine hand. You know, see, by now, Ezekiel having told him all the things that the Lord had given him, and Pelatiah dying there, seemingly in their presence, they will be interested very much in what Ezekiel does from then on, seemingly. There will be some that will be. And so they're going to be watching and paying attention. And so I brought forth my stuff day by day, there in the midst of verse 7, stuff for captivity. And in the evening I dig through the wall with mine hand and brought it forth in the twilight, and I bear it upon my shoulder in their sight. And in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, what doest thou? Have they not asked? Say thou unto them, verse 10, thus saith the Lord God, this burden concerneth the prince of Jerusalem. So we see here understanding about who this is for, the prince, the king, the remaining king, and all the house of Israel that are among them. Say, I am your sign. What are you doing, Ezekiel? I'm your sign. This concerns the prince of Jerusalem, the last king that is there. Say, I am your sign, like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity, and the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight, and shall go forth, and they shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face, that he see not the ground with his eyes. He's going to try to sneak out. He's going to try to get away. He's going to try to be stealthy in it. My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. Quickly, I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 17. 2 Kings 24, verse 17. Second Kings chapter 24, verse number 17. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah, last king. Come down to chapter 25. He rebels against Nebuchadnezzar. They come and they lay a siege and they take the city. Verse 6 of chapter 25 of 2 Kings. So they took the king and brought him to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. Just like was prophesied, so it came to pass. Back in Ezekiel chapter 12. He shall not see it, though he shall die there. He won't see the trip. He won't see his sons anymore. That'll be the last memory that he has with his vision, is seeing the death of his sons. The Lord means what he says and says what he means. Verse 14, and I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him and all his bands. I will draw out the sword after them. They shall know that I am the Lord when I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. But I will leave a few of them from the sword. I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from the famine, and from the pestilence. There'll be a remnant, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen whither they come. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Once again, we see that statement. Verse 17, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling and with carefulness. So now he's told to shake while he drinks, and shakes while he eats, and have astonishment on his face. And say unto the people of the land, thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of the inhabitants in the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with carefulness and drink their water with astonishment. Remember the measure of food and the measure of water each day that Ezekiel was given by the Lord for the year plus that he laid on his side out there in front of his place, laying a siege against Jerusalem. I think it's a repeat of that. Eat their bread with carefulness, drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. Verse 20, and the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, the land shall be desolate, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. When it comes to pass, just the way I say, the Lord says, you'll know that it's me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb you have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Said, oh, we got all kinds of time. Don't believe these prophecies. They won't come to pass. They won't come to pass in our time. Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease. They shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass, and it shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. So see, as the Lord had prophesied with Jeremiah or Isaiah or prophets that were before them or prophets that are over there in the midst, no more. He's going to have it prophesied by his prophet and boom, it's going to happen. That's Ezekiel. That's Ezekiel. Not going to be for a long time. Not going to be a long delay of a few decades or a few years. He's going to say it. These are the men that caused this evil and devised this evil in Jerusalem. Melatiah is dead. And along that line. So he talks about the proverbs that they have. Verse 25, for I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word I shall speak shall come to pass. it shall be no more prolonged. Verse 26, again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, There shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. You know, there's a sense of that happening in our day. Isn't it Peter that tells in his epistles that where is the promise of his coming? We've been hearing about that forever. And since granddaddy was here, great-granddaddy was here, the Lord hadn't come back. You know, what's the big deal? Let's just devise our own way and our own thinking. You know, Lord's forgot all about this. Oh, no. You know what? We may be the generation that sees the Lord start to deal with man's way unraveling and the coming of the Lord Jesus in the clouds, the tribulation that may come to the saints and to the world, and then the great tribulation that's going to come upon his nation. I don't believe we'll be here to see that. But you know what? We well may see our Lord deal. I don't know. But may our Lord help us if we do. May our Lord help us. May our Lord help us, just period. Amen. Go with what's at hand. There's going to come, the prophecy comes, and it's for down the road. It's for down the road. It's for down the road. But you know what? There's always a day that comes when it's the day. It's the day. What can we get from this? Well, child of God, be faithful to the Lord. Our Lord's coming back. May we be faithful with Him during the time of working until Jesus comes. And you that are here and not saved, are you ready to meet your Maker? Are you ready to meet your Lord and your God? Well, I don't believe. He's not my Lord. Oh, He's your Lord. I beg of you, repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yield to Him. Bow the knee to Him now. Because it will be dreadful and terrible for you to bow the knee, which you surely will do on the other side. May our Lord help. May our Lord work.